We will start. I'm Ruth. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm the leader for this workshop.
Hi, Ruth.
Welcome.
Thank you. If you would like to join me in the Serenity Prayer, we'll do that again to start. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
Thank you. When I saw the title for this workshop, I was immediately struck by how, and not, I haven't ever thought of this before, but if I were just needing to sum up my life in a sentence, this would be the sentence: that I'm not bad, trying to be good. That's how I spent all the years before OA. I was bad, trying to be good. I was full of shame and guilt and so forth, all of which I'm sure you're familiar with. And in OA, I discovered that I was sick, trying to get well. I have been overweight for as long as I can remember. Pictures of me as a child, a toddler, show a very pudgy little girl. And by the time I was 5, I was genuinely fat. You're back? Aha. Anyway, I think, what do I have, 5 minutes for this
part? Seven.
Okay, 7. So, and then I was fat all my life, except that I was a yo-yo dieter. And I thought, it never occurred to me that I couldn't do it by myself, just by going on a diet. My parents wanted me to be thin so that I would attract a husband and they could get me off their hands. And that was their main objective. And I certainly, particularly once I became a teenager, I wanted to be thin because by then my hormones were raging and I wouldn't mind attracting a man either. Maybe it's just as well that Jack is not here. Anyway, but when I first came into the meetings, it's the first time I heard about being sick or insane, or as some people refer to themselves, addicted. In fact, it was my daughter who was in another 12-step program who, when I was about to embark on yet another diet, suggested to me that I might benefit from a 12-step program, and she knew there was one. And now, of course, she's resisting my suggestions that she do something similar, but it's all in God's time. So I was 68 before the light bulb went on in my head. And it really was in my head. As I mentioned earlier, I had a ski accident, which caused me to have a concussion and even a subarachnoid hemorrhage. And so I was very severely incapacitated for some months and had to recover from this. And I finally had time to notice, because I couldn't distract myself with any number of activities, I noticed that I couldn't control what I was eating, no matter what I said about it. I just couldn't, simply couldn't, and didn't even want to. So OA was rather appealing, and when I was well enough to do it, I came into the first meeting, and it was the Saturday meeting, and the light bulb lit. I heard such incredible stories, and I no longer felt alone. And as I said earlier in the first workshop, But I was in a terrible hurry because I had just had a near-death experience, and I didn't know what my future was going to be or how much of a future I had. And I wanted to get everything that the program had to offer, like in the first 10 minutes, and simply couldn't really do that. So it took me a while to understand and to reach the point where time just seemed to slow down for me. Now that I'm abstinent, and I'm living in today, it seems like I have more than enough time to do everything that I have set myself to do. It's true I no longer set myself to do 50 things in a day that would normally take maybe a year, but the pace of my life is very different, and I'm much happier and hopeful and content. Not complacent, but really content. I've discovered my higher power. It's all in his hands. It's all in his time. And, I don't know how much more I can say about that. But let me say a little bit more about this topic. I was so full of guilt and shame. My father couldn't stand the sight of me. And when he got angry with me for whatever reason, he would call me names that related to my size, even if it had nothing to do with the whatever offense it was. And I was teased unmercifully by school children. Let me just swing. I'm supposed to spend then 3 minutes on this aspect of it, am I not? So let's just swing into that. So I really believed I was bad, and every diet was an effort to be good. I had a doctor tell me, a gynecologist that I was sent to because I wasn't menstruating regularly, being so heavy, telling me that I owed it to my husband to get thin. He was entitled to a thin wife. Then I had, some years later, a piano teacher tell me, because she was a very devout woman, that gluttony was a sin. And those were the kinds of humiliating experiences I went through. But now I understand that I'm actually sick. I have an illness. It's a chronic illness. Recovery is a lifelong process, and I have to keep working my program in order to sustain the recovery. And I no longer don't feel guilt, and I don't feel ashamed, except occasionally when the disease kind of wakes up and lets me know. So what I would suggest we do by way of sharing, because not you all may have, each of you, an individual experience with this concept of being bad, trying to be good, or whether you're sick, trying to get well, and it may be different than mine. And let's go around the room and hear what each of you who cares to share has to say.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll start with... I'm left-handed, and things always go that way.
Hi,
I'm Barbara, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Barbara.
And this was a concept I heard at my first meeting. I'm not bad trying to become good. I'm sick trying to get well. Whole new concept for me, because I too had a father who never wanted kids and let us know that we were in his way. Mm. And, you know, the verbal abuse and all the other stuff that just let me know that I was not good enough and never will be. And it's funny because based on character defects that I developed, no matter what anybody said, even if it was something meant to be kind or good, I always interpreted as that somebody was telling me I had done something wrong or that I was bad. Then I'd walk into these rooms, and I also thought the idea that I couldn't lose weight or stick to a diet was that I was bad because I didn't have enough willpower. In my first meeting, I hear that, you know, it has nothing to do with willpower. It has to do with I'm sick, I have a disease. My disease is that once I start eating, I can't stop because I have an allergy to certain foods. And more importantly, I have a sick mind that keeps telling me to keep eating anyway, no matter how badly I want to be thin. The great part about this program, though, is that, you know, reading the big book, there's like, you know, all these things, you know, to just turn my way of thinking around. And one of the great things that I learned is that we're all sick. In and out of the rooms, we're all sick, just based on things that have happened to us and our reactions to it and how we cope with stuff. And just like if somebody, you know, had a cold or some deadly disease, I wouldn't be mad at them for being sick, and I shouldn't be mad at myself for being a compulsive overeater. The great part about it is once I found out what my disease was, I found out that while I will always continue to be a compulsive overeater, I don't have to continue to eat the way that I did, and I don't have to continue to be miserable. I can do what everybody in the room had tons of back-to-back abstinence told me to do using the tools. I don't take my first bite. I don't have to overeat. I don't have to feel bad and call myself names every morning for breaking a diet. And then I do what the steps I should do, and my head gets straightened out. I know I'm not a bad person. I may have some character defects that made me do some really horrible things, but that I'm not inherently a bad person. I'm somebody good, and the more I do this program, the more I become that good person, even though there is no good or bad, no right or wrong, everything just is. But I'm becoming who I was supposed to be, and that's a kind, caring, loving, tolerant person. And I like that person a lot better. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing.
I am Beth Ann, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Beth Ann.
I love this topic because I just think it's so wonderfully put, the title for the topic. When I first came into the rooms many years ago and I heard that, you know, I had a disease, I was very put off by that. I thought that was very negative, and I was like, what do you mean, disease? And, you know, so unfortunately I didn't stick around long enough to learn what I need to learn, and I tried to be good on my own for many, many years. But I was so, definitely could not see the forest for the trees. You know, I had a negative voice in my head that would start criticizing me literally from the moment that I would wake up in the morning. And it was a constant battle to try to be good all the time, food and everything else. And now when I came back into the rooms, I could see it so much more clearly and see it so much differently that it doesn't matter to me now whether I call it, you know, what the terminology is. If I say disease, I say compulsion, I think of it now like riding a bicycle. You know, like when I was a little kid, I learned how to ride a bicycle, so now I could get on a bicycle and ride down the street. And when I was a little kid, I learned how to cope by overeating compulsively, and now, at the drop of a hat, I can get on that bicycle and ride right back into that. And I see that that's, you know, that's just the way it is. And that's, you know, that what is. So that's what I have to deal with and what I have to work. And it's such a tremendous relief to see myself now as not bad and just needing to work. Thank you. My program. I used to do things like I would go into the dressing room with clothes and I would put on something that was too tight and too small, and I would look in the mirror and start to berate myself and just stand there and say, look at how horrible you look. And somewhere in my twisted mind, I thought that was going to make me stop eating. And of course, all it made me want to do was run to the food court. But I couldn't see that there was anything wrong with that, you know, until I got into program and really started working, and now I see how twisted my thinking was. So I'm really grateful for this concept to see myself as just needing to get well and have a program that helps me to do that.
Thank you. I am Susan, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Susan.
I too find it very comforting. And a relief. To discover that I'm addicted was like taking a huge weight off my shoulders. I was overweight most of my life, except for those brief periods where I would get close to goal and then decide that I really couldn't get to the goal weight that they had established for me, so I would just maintain where I was on my own. That usually lasted a day and a half. And one of the things that was really hard for me, I have a very strong faith, and so I believed that my faith should be able to take care of this problem. And I, you know, in faith-based weight loss programs say, well, when you're having trouble, you should read your Bible and pray. And all that got me was crumbs in the Bible. And, you know, I mean, it just, and it really was very damaging to why is it that I can't do this? And so for me, I started in program in August, and the recognition that I'm addicted to the sugar and the wheat and the flour, and that what I've been trying to do for my entire, since I was 10 when I went on my first diet, was I was trying to just learn to eat a little. Like the concept of none wasn't even anywhere hard. I spent all those years trying to control eating just a little, and I couldn't do it. And what I've had to come to realize is, no, there will never be just one sweet treat for me. That won't ever happen for me, and that's okay. And I did have an instance in February where I thought, I'm doing so well, one little one won't hurt. And a day later when I had been consuming everything I could find, I was like, no, here you go. You really need to recognize, you know, just a little is not going to work for you. You really have to say, no, you can't do this. And but I no longer feel like I'm a bad person or there's something wrong with me, that I don't have enough self-discipline, that I have, you know, a defect that causes me to not be able to have just a little. So recognizing the addiction and that this is sickness, not bad habits or, you know, has really just been a huge weight for me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
I'm going to pass.
Hi, I'm Glenn. I'm grateful. Recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Glenn.
Yes, I had never heard it put this way, and I think that is an amazing way of putting it, because that's all I can remember thinking is how bad I'm being and how many diets I went on and how bad I was at them. And I can relate to the feelings of feeling so bad about myself and the berating of myself, but that was my disease telling me all these awful things about myself. I really didn't have outside sources doing that. Luckily, I guess, and thankfully. But my disease took over where anybody else left off. I don't know, the family and the friends and everybody would, I mean, I would say how horrible I looked and felt, and everybody would say, oh no, you're beautiful, you're fun, you have such a pretty face. but, so, I don't know, you know, if they were feeding my addiction or not, I don't know where they fit into that, but I guess the worst things that I got as far as outside sources was people always thought I was pregnant. I've never been pregnant, but people always thought I was pregnant. Things like that. But my disease certainly always told me how awful I looked. And when I was doing good on a diet and I would get close to whatever it was I thought I should be, the disease would tell me, you're fabulous. You look good now. You don't need to be on this diet. And I would say, woohoo, and I would come off and I would go shoop, right back up. And it was just such a cycle. And so the concept of sick trying to get well is such a wonderful relief to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that. Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm not a grateful compulsive reader.
I
know. I gotta say, I can relate to being berated because a lot of people, family, friends, teachers, for most of my life, always wanted me to lose weight, and the anthem, you have a pretty face, but it's covered behind all that fat. You're such a pretty girl. And, you know, I constantly heard this. And I thought, there's something wrong with me. I'm like, I can't do it. And, you know, I feel like a failure. But then there's the other side, too, where I've lost the weight, hit goal weight, and, you know, I'm like somebody's hero. And then if they see me a few months after, because my disease tells me, okay, you look great, you can handle it now. Go ahead. And then it's like, well, you're a fallen hero. You're scum. That's the way it was, like an up and down thing. And I do this because I'm a compulsive reader. I can't handle one of anything. I have trigger foods, and without which I'm getting into the steps. I need coping skills. I'm little by little getting coping skills because I had no coping skills before. It was like, okay, this is bad in life. Go and eat. This is bad in life, and you know. Then there would be the people who put me on the pedestal, which I don't like, and then, you know, I disappoint them. But, you know, I'm in the knee, and I'm, you know, a sick person, but I'm trying to get well, and I need to keep going to meetings, keep doing what I need to do to get better and, you know, stay in recovery. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Hi, my name is Steve, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Dina.
I think most of my life I thought of it as being a bad person and not being good because I've tried so many things. As a little child, I was normal, believe it or not. I was born, I guess, about 6 pounds. My mom said she had a great delivery with me. I was skinny all the way up until maybe 6 or 7, and then they thought I didn't have enough weight on me, so I went and I got some shots, and I started gaining weight, which was not a good thing. But as time progressed, I've been on so many diets up and down. The same stories, you know, you have such a pretty face, what's wrong with you? Why can't you lose the weight and keep it off, and so on and so forth. And it's been a struggle time after time, and when you finally come to understand that there are foods out there that your body just cannot handle and you cannot cope with, and you let them go, your taste buds change and you no longer desire them. You can start living your life normally and just have what's okay for you and start maintaining and losing and getting on the right track. And it's a lot of work on yourself, a lot of digging down deep, and that's what's been really hard for me, because it's so much easier to run to the food and eat the food and feel good and not have to deal with yourself and your issues. So that's been a struggle, but I'm working on it, getting there. At least I understand a lot more now, and I'm really grateful to know that it is a disease, and it's not just me being such a bad person. That's it.
Thank you. I'm Adele, compulsive reader.
Hi, Adele.
I'm trying to relate to this. It's a great topic, but I did not realize I had any problem for the first 50 years of my life because I did have willpower enough to keep me pretty thin, and I exercised, I would binge, but as soon as I gained 3, 4, 5 pounds, I would go on a diet, I'd lose it, and exercise a little extra, and I was fine. So I didn't really think about this whole overeating thing. It started to be a problem when I got to be in my, I'd say, mid-40s. And little by little, I mean, I've always loved food, but my weight, my my weight was, you know, always in control because I was in control. And it would have been ridiculous for somebody to say to me, you can't use willpower, you know, you need to be helped by a higher power. That just seems so ridiculous because my willpower did allow me to stay thin. But I think what happened was, and they talk about the progressive nature of compulsive overeating, I think eventually it really did start to catch up with me, and my love of food became more of a compulsion. And like I said, you know, my mid-40s, my late-40s, it started to be more difficult. And then in my early 50s, mid-50s, it became even more difficult because, number one, I had lymphoma. So, and one of my drugs was prednisone. So, unlike everybody else that was, throwing up all the time, I was eating. I mean, I was eating like a normal person, thanks. So I gained some weight. And then, you know, after that, I guess it's just, I didn't have the desire to exercise as much. The food was becoming more important. And it's just, it's gotten much more difficult for me. So now I can appreciate this concept. And now I can understand that there is a sickness, there is a compulsion that's very difficult for me to deal with. So, you know, I'm looking at this very differently. I've come into this late, but the point is I can see it now. And I think this is wonderful to look at it that, you know, I'm not a bad person. I'm dealing with a compulsion that I have no control over. And at this point in my life, I really can't control it anymore. So I'm working the program, and if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Thanks.
No,
you can go.
Oh my God, what a concept. I guess when you're made to feel like shit, it's hard to feel any other way. You know, I wish there was a comment section in this workshop, because I think I could comment on everything somebody said. You know, relating to the whole father situation. Although I may have gotten a pass on that. I remember my father telling my sister, how could you let her become like this? You know, how could you let her get this fat like she had any control over it? Or going shopping in the fitting room. Oh my God, who looks at themselves and thinks the worst and leaves there and heads right for something to eat? Probably most of us have done it. And when you think of
like a show,
I mean, when you think about it, how could you think of it other than an illness? Something that you have absolutely no control over. But it's when you think about just the words, it's hard to accept that. You know, it's like I have an illness. It's food. Why not do what everybody else does that's normal? And just stop eating. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, people that look at you and berate you and degrade you, and they say, well, you know, if you're fat, just stop eating. Go on a diet. Isn't that what most normal people do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, except that I think we've established by our forefathers, we're not normal. We are sick.
I
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's really, it's tough to think about that. It's like, yeah, is it horrible to think it's an illness and think you're sick? Or is it wonderful to think that it's an illness and there's a way of explaining it, there's a way of understanding it? So, yeah, boy, it's an illness. It's an illness, all right. But I guess we all at some point think that we're bad because we've got to be doing something wrong. You know, we've got to be doing something wrong if we're not like normal people. But, you know, I think you have to forgive yourself. I think you have to listen to the experience and, you know, read the literature and a lot of things that being new I haven't gotten to yet. But I think it's just accepting and understanding that you're not bad. You know, you're just sick.
you know, and that's just the way it is. So. Thank you.
My name is Eleanor, very grateful, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Eleanor.
I speak only for myself by saying I or me, because I am the one who is responsible for where I am and what I'm doing. It would be nice to blame the world or include the whole world, but guess what? When push comes to shove, it's me who's picking up the food. I'm the one who does it to me. And that's what I have to work on. I have to work on me and take care of myself, because it was so much easier to find it the other way, and it doesn't work. And Roseanne was really brilliant when she called this compulsive overeating. She did not call it an addiction. She did not say it's a food addiction, because if it were, for instance, alcoholism, all I have to do is stop drinking alcohol, but I'm not a liquorholic, just alcohol. If I'm on drugs, I can't have narcotics, because that would kill me, so that's NA. But this is OA. It's Overeaters Anonymous. That's what it is, compulsively overeating, and I have to remember that. Because if I were a food addict, as I hear many times people say, I would be addicted to food, therefore I can never eat food again. And she understood that, and that's why she called it compulsive overeating. So when I sit here and say I'm a compulsive overeater, those words were not easy to say when I first walked in the door. I kept trying to find an outlet, a way out. And it took me, thank God, for OA. Because if it didn't do anything else, what it did is open the door for me to see me. And it was an awakening. And for that first 5 years that I did it my way, it didn't work. And just working this program is just such, it's like having a map for living. Somebody giving me a way to live. And all I have to do is to do it. And it works. I can't think of anything more that I could say, because I did the bad person trying to get better. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn that no, I am a better person than that. I have to love myself, and that's where it will start, is by loving myself.
My name is Isa, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Isa.
And I remember as a kid, I was an obese child, and you know, one of my like strongest just ongoing messages was, not just in my family, but in like all of society, was it didn't matter how smart I was, it didn't matter how well I played sports, it didn't matter what my grades were, it didn't matter how I sang, nothing else mattered, but because I was fat, I was less than, I wasn't worthy, I was a piece of crap. And I always remember feeling this way around my friends too, like letting them be the shining stars, letting them be better than me because I'm worthless. And what's funny is like it was such a vicious cycle for me of like the self-loathing, so I'll eat. And, you know, nothing that has ever happened in my life that's good has come out of me hating myself. Like, I've never hated myself into getting into exercise. I've never hated myself into abstinence. I've never hated myself into a spiritual discovery class, you know, anything along those lines. I remember I had kind of an epiphany 3 Christmas Eves ago. My brother is a heroin addict. Very much like I'm, you know, addicted to certain substances of food. And I do well with him and I don't do so well with him. Like my relationship with him is like up and down. But it's been good for the last couple of years, for as much as I can have a relationship with an active heroin addict. But I would get so angry at him, you know, oh, he's such a jerk. He's so bad. And I remember I'm driving by the Morristown jail, and he was in there at that time. It was Christmas Eve, and I just looked over and I thought to myself, who the hell in their right mind wants to be there on Christmas Eve? It's a disease. It's a disease. Like nobody, I never wanted to have prom dresses specially made for me. I didn't want to beg a boy to take me to the prom. I didn't want to stuff myself and feel like garbage all the time. I remember really, again, another epiphany is I read the Big Book really early on in my recovery, and I remember reading the compulsive jaywalker story about the guy who, you know, runs out to the front of the middle of the street, gets hit by a truck. 2 days later, gets hit by a fire truck. Right? I don't even know how the story goes, but it just made so much sense to me that, you know, that's who I am. I'm not a bad person. I have a disease. And what I love about, like, these rooms and the newcomer meetings is that I'm given a capsule of medicine that I can use every day to stay well, but I need to take my medicine every day. My sponsor, I sponsor, service, phone calls, literature, meetings, anonymity. I need all of these to stay well. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm Donna, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, Donna. Voice is a good topic. And I have shame and guilt, terribly ridiculed growing up at 200 pounds most of my life. Ridiculed at school, ridiculed at home, destroyed my self-esteem. And even to this day, if I'm not aware of it, I still think that everybody is better than I am. I feel I have no rights. That just, you know, I was told all my life, you're fat, dumb, and stupid, and I bought it. I bought it. But I'm learning. I'm just learning. I don't have to be that way anymore, and I'm learning how not to be that way anymore. Slowly but surely, I'm learning. There's another way of being. And it is about taking responsibility. I went to the food. My brother went to the heroin. And who knows where he is. He's on the street still somewhere, and he's in his 60s, and he picked it up when he was in high school. I could have gone that route. And I went to the food. I have to take responsibility for that. And I can't blame my childhood anymore. I can't, because I'm not living that childhood anymore. So I'm learning how to take responsibility for the person that I am today. I'm not that fat, dumb, stupid person. I never was. And that's what I have to believe. I never was. So this is a good topic.
Thanks for sharing.
Hi, I'm Trish Grape. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Trish.
And I too was fat as a kid. I was 9 pounds at birth, and always had a problem. And my mom called me Fatty Patty, and, you know, used to sing, Christmas is coming, Patty's getting fat, you know, used to put a penny. I mean, the physical abuse, the verbal abuse and physical that my mother did to me, I never understood. And I always thought that I had to be good. She took me to the doctors to put me on diet pills, blah, blah, blah. And then just recently, like within the past 6 months, I told her how much I weighed, and she said, I haven't weighed that since I was in eighth grade. And I said, really? And she said, well, maybe, you know, when I was pregnant and really sick or whatever. But I found out that the reason she wanted me, she made fun of me for being fat, was because she didn't want me to weigh 148 pounds like she did in eighth grade, okay? And so her way of doing that was by treating me, to abuse me. And I was always trying to be good, and, you know, I really want, you know, you're never going to get a man unless you're thin, and blah, 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 you know. And her goal for me was to graduate high school, get married, and make her a grandmother by the time she was 40, you know. That was her goal for me. And I missed by over a year or so. But, you know, I always thought I was bad if I wasn't pleasing my mom. And then, you know, and by pleasing everybody else, you know, I was bad if I wasn't people pleasing. And even my husband, my current husband. But when I came into this room, then I really did find out that I was just sick, you know, and I am recovering. I don't think I can ever say that I'm recovered, because every once in a while my disease still speaks to me, and it's not just with the food, it's with my behavior. And you know, I'm trying to get well. That's what I'm doing, is I'm trying to get well, and I'm grateful that I found a way to try to get well. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Wow. I don't know what to suggest at this point.
Sleep is good.